Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Life is short, and it's full of a lot of interesting questions. What does happiness really mean? How do I get the most out of my time here on Earth? And what really is the best cereal? These are the questions I seek to resolve on my weekly podcast, Life is Short with Justin Long. Follow Life is Short wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today, after a very exciting weekend, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello there, Benoons.
Hi. You're back home in Austin, safe and sound.
Yes. I was making fun of Adriana's, but my food, at our show in Phoenix and hit my Achilles tendon on a chair. And slowly but surely, it got worse and worse, and I literally limped out of L.A. all hungover after the crappies, and I just came home and crashed face down on my bed and slept for like 12 hours. It was glorious.
So wait, so in Phoenix or Scottsdale, wait, so you hit your foot on the chair. Like, how did you hit your foot on the chair? Do you remember?
Okay, so we were sitting in the chair, and I had my legs kind of lifted up because I was talking about that stupid, her wheelchair or something. And then I like slammed forward to say something, and then it slammed my Achilles tendon into the chair leg.
Wow.
I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but an incredibly stupid way, basically. That's what happened. I hurt my foot in an incredibly stupid way.
Ugh. That's almost always how it happens.
Yeah, it's never something hot. It's always some dumb fucking way. Like, I'm going to die by like... I know, just like closing the dishwasher wrong and getting my pinky stuck in it, and then it's going to turn on and electrocute me. You know, it's like, right. I'm going to die some stupid way like that.
Yeah, you know what's funny? My friend Leah, she just actually had surgery on her, I think her ACL or MCL on Friday because she had a skiing accident and led to that. So I texted her, be like, how's it going? She's like, oh, I'm doing well. I'm just like happy that this is how I, you know, ruptured my ACL, because all my friends have been reaching out about like how they ruptured it by like standing up or like. And I was like, I know. I remember my French teacher in seventh grade. She fucked up her foot by walking across her carpet. So she was like, yeah, I'm just happy I have a good story. I was doing something cool.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm jealous. Oh, I was looking up ACL, but then I went to ACLU, and now I feel really guilty about things.
Oh, no. Did you rupture a civil rights organization?
I know. I ruptured my civil rights. But also, I want to go to Austin City Limits for some music. What is an ACL?
Achilles. Well, I don't remember what it really is.
Oh, God, it's your Achilles. Did I tear it? Oh, Jesus. Is it just serious?
Say that you tore it playing football.
Oh, well, now do I have to go to a doctor? I don't want to go. Anterior cruciate ligament. Mm. Okay, that's what it is. Everybody yelling at your car right now and hitting your steering wheel. It's an anterior cruciate ligament.
Oh, well, fuck. I'm sure they'll... Listen, we have many doctors they'll message you and they'll give you some advice.
That shit's in your knee. Why are you telling me my foot? I'm fine, everybody. Ben's just trying to make me think I'm ACL. Dying over here.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Your ACL is in your knee. Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. You know, a few inches away and your foot could have shattered into 1,000 pieces.
But my foot. Anyway, the point is, thank you so much to everyone who gave us a great weekend. I mean, both shows were lit. The Scottsdale Phoenix show... We've never had that much fun there. Yeah, yeah, we definitely walked off the stage there. Like, that was the best show we've ever had here. Everybody was so much fun. There was so much energy in the room. We met so many people who came alone and left with like big groups of people also, which was great.
Saskatoon.
Yes.
Or Saskatchewan, and then, I should say. Or both.
Oh, I was like, where? So then the next day, in Los Angeles, that was great. So we get to LA. It's raining. It's horrible. They're going to have a blizzard and all this other stuff. We're like, well, we're doing this no matter what, right? Like, we can't just put it off. So we go. It's 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours, Ben, I think, before the show is supposed to start. And we get fucking Amber Alert type messages, natural disasters that pop up on everybody's phone citywide. Like, everybody's phone at the same time went, bah! Bah! Do not leave your home. We are forcing everyone to stay indoors. The zombies are here. And then you turn on the TV and there's like cars floating in rivers down the street and shit. Oh my God.
It was like our biggest show of the year in the biggest theater we've ever done. And to get that message at like 3:30, there was so much coordination that goes into the crappies. I mean, you know, it's just like a lot, and you're herding cats. You're trying, there's all these things, and it's almost entirely all just the two of us doing it. And we finally have everything. I like scratched off, like, and that was my last thing on my to-do list. I'm now ready for the show. And that's like, no one come. And so then, you know, we had several guest presenters who had to back out, understandably, because they live in, you know, high risk areas. You know, like if you live
in a canyon,
the hills,
or,
it's like a legitimate, you know, dangerous thing. So, like, we had people backing out. We had to rearrange, like, things around. It was just, like, chaotic and crazy. But we wouldn't have it any other way. It was – so for people who did come out, really appreciate that. And
so many people actually came out. I love the spirit of this show and the audience because nobody gave a fuck. They were – like, unless they literally could not leave their home, they were like, we're coming. I mean, there was – it was still pouring down rain. Everybody just came in soaked. The guests came in soaked. Like, nobody gave a fuck. Everybody had – the best time. Katie and Walter, the orchestra, our crappers, were so, so good and so funny. I mean, what a dream night. You know, we got to meet some really cool people that night and some really cool listeners. So, guys, thank you so much for giving us such a great, great, great night.
Yeah. And like also like thanks to our guest presenters who showed up. So we had an amazing slate. So the people who showed up, who we really want to thank, for coming out and doing the show with us. MJ from Shaw's The Sunset, Rose Abdu from Hacks, Kate Flannery from The Office, Ariana Maddox, Diallo Riddle from Southside, Kelty Knight from E and the Lady Gang, Christina Ariel from the High Republic podcast, Jake Anthony from Reality Gaze, Katie and Walter, Ryan Bailey, who also did a very fun Instagram social media stuff with Rebecca Lieb on our social media, Courtney Frain from Two Judgy Girls, Geeky Monique from Talk of Shame. And we also had also a huge thanks to the Bravo celebrities who videoed in. So Kate Chastain and Aisha Scott and Margaret Josephs and Lisa Barlow. Thank you to everyone who took the time. I know it was a very busy time and the weather was crazy. So it was really cool that you guys all helped us do this show. And also the fact that, again, when those lights came up, when Ronnie and I went out on stage and the lights came up and we saw that, like, there were so many people in the theater. I thought it was going to be like half full, and that just like people rallied and they showed up and they were loud and they were with us the whole night and they were cheering and making noise. And we'd announce winners and people would be on their feet. They're fist pumping, you know, just like it was such a great energy in that room. So honestly, thank you so much to everyone who made that night possible.
Yes, if you want to watch it, it's still up over. You can catch the link still at watchwhatcrappens.com for streaming tickets. That will be released on our main feed, the audio only, but that will be released next week. So we just wanted to give people a week to catch the video of the whole show while they can. So feel free to go over there and get the link from our Crappens site, watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, our new shows are coming up. We've still got a whole season of shows. We're not going to give you this whole list every day because we know it will probably make us all fucking crazy doing that. But our next shows that are coming up, we begin March 9th in Charlotte, North Carolina, then Atlanta that same weekend. And then the 23rd of March, we're going to be in Denver, Salt Lake City. And then the 30th, we're going to be in Seattle and San Francisco. So just in March alone, we've got Charlotte, Atlanta, Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, and San Francisco. Go get your tickets or watch what crappens.
And lastly, of course, one last thing, a major congratulations to the Real Housewives of Miami, which was like a the upset winner of the Crappies this year. Beverly Hills was dominating the show, and Miami won best show. And so huge congrats to Miami, and huge congrats to Garcelle Beauvais, who was named Bravo Celebrity of the Year. So cool. And of course, all the rest of the winners you can catch on Moment House by watching the telecasts.
Okay, so today, let's jump into some Real Housewives of Potomac. Now, this is reunion part two, and then they announced at the end of the show that next week is a 90-minute reunion part three. Okay?
Yeah.
You're trying me now. You're trying me now, Potomac.
It's probably because of, Robin. They probably have to wedge in all this, like, Robin footage. Which, by the way, I don't need it. I actually don't need it. Like, you know, Juan, there was this whole, you know, she did her thing on Watch Happens Live. So understand they need to, they want to weave it into the reunion to address it. That's fine. I actually don't need Unseen because I actually don't care much more beyond the fact that it happened. I don't need details. I don't need to see that much more of her squirming in her hypocrisy. Like she's already dinged for the hypocrisy. Like it's already there. I don't need this to be a whole, you know, Barbara Walters special, RIP.
Yeah, it's not really that big of a deal to me at this point. Yeah. I mean, Robin didn't put something on camera that was completely humiliating to her. I'm shocked. I think if it was actually Robin who was coming straight for everybody about their marriages, but she did try to stick up for Candace and stuff when all that stuff was happening in the beginning. So whatever. I'm not saying who's right or wrong. I just don't need another hour of it. I already watched the Watch What Happens Live thing, and they're already putting in missed footage or whatever, unseen footage of it from that into here. And they're already doing black and white, like, storms are happening. Right. But don't you remember Robin's interview where she's like, what? What's the big deal? I'm so sorry. I didn't bring it up, but like, I didn't even think about it. That's all she's going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the reunion's been great so far, but I think it's just from my perspective of like, as a podcaster and having just gone through this hell week, and then to hear like, guess what? 30 extra minutes of work you have to do. I'm like, no.
Yeah. That's how we're looking at it for sure. We're like, oh, what?
Not now.
It's like the last day before summer, school announces like it's going to double its time. You're like, wait a minute. We're supposed to get out early before spring break, not stay late, you assholes.
Yeah.
It's a selfish thing for sure.
It's truly like, I feel like for everyone else, that's like great. But for me, I'm just like, oh, that's because it's 30 more minutes of content, which means probably like another 45 minutes or an hour of work to do of taking
and
notes.
Bravo, don't apologize, because honestly, as far as I'm concerned, you can take the apology and you can shove it up your ass. Your dwindling uterus was waiting for you to put this on TV. You just had a waiting, dwindling uterus to put this on TV.
So that's where this episode begins, with Candace saying that and basically saying, you know, like, your dwindling uterus is, wants, you know, like, you could have put your dwindling uterus on TV. That could have been your storyline. But instead, you would rather malign and fuck with people's families and use this show to lie on people.
Yes. And also, people who ask us sometimes, like, why do you do Wendy, who always has a W in whatever she's saying? You know, which wasn't a good sentence to illustrate the W that we add into her sentences. This was a very good episode where Wendy inserted a lot of W's into her into her speech. I was like, there she is. There she is. So Wendy's like, well, there's now become a clear pattern with this happening over and over again with people's husbands. And you have a problem, but it's always coincidentally right when filming starts. And Candace is like, yeah, instead of talking about her uterus and what's happening in her personal life, she would rather malign and fuck with people's families. And, you know, then we get to see the whole dwindling uterus thing again. I am saying it twice in a row, but it's because they aired it twice in a row.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it just kept going. They just love the dwindling uterus.
Yeah. You're just being faithful to the source material, you know?
Dwindling uterus is like the Let It Be of our time. It just kept playing. It never stopped playing on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hit.
So, you like my current? You like my current callbacks?
I like. Well, it's better than saying it's like It's the Happy by Pharrell.
You know what? Dwindling Uterus is like the Fly Me to the Moon of our time.
Dwindling Uterus is like the, it's like that awful Justin Timberlake song from the Trolls movie.
Oh, I don't know what that was.
Feeling. You know, it's like, oh God. Plaguing every wedding and bar mitzvah for the next 30 years, that song.
I was just so proud of the Trolls in that movie because they had been on pencils for so long. Mm. And, you know, you're like, they're over. Like, no one was inviting them to parties, you know? We're like, don't you remember the Trolls? We're like, yeah, they were so ugly. Like, that was what they left. And then they got a movie. I mean, it was pretty good. I honor them.
I'm excited for the first Troll Real Housewife. Will happen.
My dwindling uterus honors that. I think I said uterus, but whatever. Okay, so she's doing her dwindling universe song and dance again. And then she's like, yeah, and then you sat on Karen's couch and table with Robin and said, Chris needs to apologize to you. And Giselle goes, yes, sir. And she's like, what did he do to you, Giselle? You still haven't said what he did to you. And she goes, he made me feel uncomfortable is what he did to you and to her. And to her. It's what I told everybody.
She did full Giselle voice in that response. Like she found a way to make the word made two syllables when she said, she made da me uncomfortable. Lah.
She so was me imitating you imitating her. It was like a lot of imitations.
Yeah, I really felt like that. What you, your whole thing about Wendy, it was like, I feel like I had that moment with Giselle where it was like, here, Giselle's doing an impersonation. So, and by the way, it's funny because my Wendy impersonation is just my impersonation of you doing her. Like, there are certain impersonations where it's like, I don't have a take on this, so I'm just going to impersonate Ronnie. You know? And that's what my Wendy is. That's my Wendy is just so bizarre.
I hear it all the time and it cracks me up. So, Andy's like, so what was it that made you uncomfortable that you were in alone in a room with him? And she goes, yes, sir. And he's like, or is it something that he did to make you feel uncomfortable? Were there duck quesadillas involved in this room? And, Ashley's like, yeah, was it like the body language? She's trying to help Giselle. And Giselle says, well, I feel like this is all about semantics. And he goes, yeah, but it is semantics. And Candace is like, you're using semantics against him. I'm anti-semantics. Sorry, Andy. Can we take that out? Can we take that out?
So Mia's like, well, she said she didn't want to be in a room with a married man by herself. And Giselle's like, Candice, I feel like you made this a bigger issue than it was. And Candice is like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Well, you could have just said okay. You could have just said okay. And so Candice is like, you had 6 months plus to bring this to me as an issue, and you purposely talked to me. You played me in my face. You came around me, and you were in my space, and you waited until you had a camera in your face and used to use an audience of millions of people. To which I say, Candace is absolutely correct, but this is Giselle's job. Giselle's job is to save the stuff for the camera, even though, yes, it's kind of terrible thing to put on camera because it does really, like, it's just like it's a reach, and it's a harmful reach. But then at the other hand, I also feel like, you know, aren't we, if Giselle really was uncomfortable by something, are we gonna shame someone about the timeline in which they felt comfortable to come forward with that too? I know this is makes it sound way too, like, way heavier than Giselle just being messy, but these are the things that sort of went through my head all at once while watching Candace say one sentence.
Well, the thing is, Candace holds on to the annoyance about it. So, like, she is still, when Candace has heard about something, she's always still heard about it years later as she was in the moment that it happened 10 years ago. Like, and this situation was from this season, but it never calms down. And Giselle's trick is she comes in and she's like, what was the big deal? It was not a big deal at all. Every single time with Giselle, it's like, what? I don't even understand why you're mad. I mean, I barely said anything. And Giselle soothes you into this, dream state where you believe her. I'm like, oh yeah, it was no big deal. What's the big deal? Why is Candace still so mad, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually commend Candace for keeping her anger with this, because of course she has a reason to be mad. Giselle took a totally innocent thing of a husband trying to smooth things over after a reunion, of trying to be like, listen, we don't need to fight. This is ridiculous. She didn't mean that. I wish you guys could just talk. And Giselle turned it into a moment of, you know, possible assault, or that he was leering and trying to cheat with her to further someone else's storyline she probably knew was a lie about trying to make this man into a cheater, you know? And I don't have to be a huge Chris fan to see that this is just fucking wrong. And Giselle's an asshole. And I'm really glad that Candace kept that energy and was like, no, fuck you. And just kept letting her have it every time Giselle tried to back out of the space, you know? It's like Giselle tries to back out of the space, but then, you know, the delivery truck would just back up right enough so she couldn't get out.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Decades before Anna Delvey began scamming her way into high society, Christian Carl Gerhardsreiter was infiltrating America's most elite circles with little more than a fake name and a lot of charm. Bold, ruthless, and willing to kill, Gerhardsreiter embarked on a caper across the West Coast, successfully evading the FBI for decades. Hi, I'm Saatchi Kohl, co-host of Wondery's podcast Scamfluencers, where we unpack the lives and schemes of some of the biggest scammers and con artists. In our recent two-part series, Three Weddings and a Funeral, high society's top social circles become a playground for a fraudster. Follow Scamfluencers wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
You know who really has gotten away scot-free is Ashley, because this all started with Ashley. Ashley's the one who's like, oh, Chris was, you know, getting in. He was like, he was dropping in my DMs trying to like say, like, come on over. And Chris had written some like very innocent messages. And when she shared that with Giselle was like, you know, it's funny you say that, because actually Chris made me feel a little uncomfortable, you know, after the reunion. And where Giselle went really wrong, though, is that then she started saying things like, I don't know, like, maybe he's trying to get with me. I don't know, da, 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 da. Like, if she just left it was like, it felt uncomfortable being in that room with him, then I think she probably would have been in a better place with all this. But because she added all that, and because she was the one who blindsided Candace with it, because Ashley didn't blindside Candace. Ashley took her to dinner alone and said, hey, I just want you to know, I'm letting you know about this. So Candace was cool with it. But when Giselle did it, it was at that TikTok thing, and Candace felt blindsided. So Giselle is all, you know, looks terrible in this, perhaps justifiably so. But Ashley is the one who kind of really just skated right on by.
She did it, but Candace couldn't get mad at Ashley, because that's what Candace did when she outed Michael. So that's exactly what she did. She sat her down and said, listen, I'm going to bring this up, but I wanted it to be not in front of everybody, because I don't want to blindside you with it. This is what I heard about Michael, and this is on the blog, and this was in the text, or whatever that whole thing was. Mm-hmm. And so now Ashley's coming to her doing the exact same thing. Like, okay, we're going to lunch. I'm doing this as a friend. I don't want you to get blindsided. So Candace is like, okay, I will accept this, because you have done it in the terms that I have set, you know? Right. You've done it in the way that I have set. And so she seemed fine with that. But then Giselle goes into semantics again, because Mia says, well, what's wrong with acknowledging your friend was treated inappropriately by your husband? And Giselle's like, it wasn't inappropriate. Duh. I was uncomfortable.
Right. And so Andy's like, well, I think that you and Chris should determine what was uncomfortable when he gets out here. So, by the way, production showed the moment when Chris was allegedly flirting with your friend Deborah, Ashley. And they show this clip of Deborah looking crazy. Like, her eyes are like bulging and she's shaking her head. And they intentionally put like the most cuckoo shot of Deborah in there.
Yes. And they should, you know, it's kind of film. It's, film grainy footage from like the corner of a restaurant, you know, ring cam or whatever. What do you call those? Like ring security cam or whatever. And, you know, it's that thing where she's like, oh, I know Chris. My husband's a Chris. And he's like, well, there's a lot of us. She's like, yeah, he wanted to bang me or whatever. So Andy's like, so when you saw the footage, what did you think? And she's like, well, it was a little surprising because it didn't match what Deborah told me. And she wasn't really
eating a cookie where crumbs were flying out all over and Chris was trying to catch him with his mouth, but she said that if you watch the footage, the words don't match the images.
I'm like, maybe it's because it was a 7-Eleven camera taped to the corner of a fucking corner of a restaurant.
Right. So, she says it wasn't matching. And then Ashley also says that, like the Happy Eddie thing was a reach as well. And, Andy's like, yeah, I mean, he smiled at someone. I mean, So Wendy's like, that was a very big reach. It was almost as if the women would get uncomfortable whenever the men show any sort of normal respect or decency. And unfortunately, the men within this group are unable to even communicate with the other women in this group for fear they may be pegged as something that
Stop it, Peg. This is the show that put Michael Darby on the air. Let's just stop it there. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, let's talk about the Instagram live video you made, Candace. So we see the clip of Candace saying, like, all these bitches are fake, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Andy's like, you said, fuck these hoes. None of them are loyal, and they're just trying to peddle their businesses.
I need to make a little clip of Andy saying, you said, fuck these hoes. Yeah. I love Andy reading off cards of quotes on this show. And so Candace goes, actually, I said, across these here United States. And yes, that is what I said.
And then you told Robin and Karen that you didn't mean it. Now, you didn't mean it to them. So it's my understanding, though, Robin, that she also said nice things about you and your business in that clip.
And Robin's like, I didn't watch the whole clip.
Then shut up, Robin. What are you, Alexia? You just scroll to the bottom of this shit. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, that's not a good defense, right? So Karen's like, well, who sent you that clip? And Robin's like, it was on a blog. It was an article on a blog. And when you're talking about peddling businesses, the only two people I would have thought you were talking about would have been Ashley or Giselle. Neither one had businesses at that time. And I have a business. And Wendy has a business. And Karen has a business. And Mia has the joint. So she's talking about all of this. And I was in my feelings in the way that Candace was treating me. I'm like, what are you talking about?
So Candace says, well, you literally could have come to me and been like, bitch, you've been talking about my business? Fuck you. And Robin's like, well, I just felt like everyone should hear it. I mean, tell me this. Why are you so upset that I'm playing the words that you said for people? I don't understand. And she's like, because you're my friend. And if I heard you say something like that, I'd go up to you and ask you. But you tried to shame me in front of the group. You shamed me. And it was stupid because you embarrassed yourself. I wasn't embarrassed. You were the one who looked embarrassed.
You know, I think whenever it gets into this space of like the arguments are about like how we conduct a conversation, you didn't pull me aside or you waited till on camera. I feel like that's always like a bad sign. That's a sign of like self-producing starting to come around the corner, because the people who are eager to put on a good show, they don't get everything just out there, and that's just what they do, you know? So then Robin
it's also
goes,
a way of getting away with never having to answer for anything, which right. I feel like Candace has gotten really good at, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so Candace really still hasn't had to answer for, why did you go on Instagram and say, fuck all these? Like, that wasn't nice, saying fuck everybody. And then, like, it was a little unfair of you to then turn it around to be mad at everyone else when you were the one who just went on your national platform with millions of people and called them all dirty hoes or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Rob, whatever you called them, lying hoes.
Yeah. And then Robin actually says, she goes, you know, you get upset when it's quote unquote done on camera, which is not fair, but we're all here. And when we're filming everything, we should just like we're just, when we're filming everything we do, we should just be on camera. At which point I'm sure everyone in the audience just laughs. And conveniently, we then go to 2 weeks later and Andy says,
storm,
saying,
lightning, black and white.
Well, I heard from Candace today and she's really angry and disappointed and she feels betrayed by you. And she's like, well, what is that? What is what I'm going through or what I share have to do with her and Chris? She goes, well, I think it's what you didn't share, okay?
And then we see the thread of Candace going off. And it says, wow, a thread. Our boss's favorite clapback when we're playing coy about certain aspects of our lives is, you're on a reality show about your life. There's an expectation of doing no harm. We show up to this platform as our authentic selves. And while we reserve the right to be judicious about what we share, there is a special brand of audacity attached to individuals who will knowingly bury the lead in exchange for damning and salacious lies that stand to accuse irreparable harm to innocent people. I was like, is this the beginning of Little Shop of Horrors? Who wrote this? It's so theatrical. Oh, we reserve the right to be judicious in what we share. Okay, Candace, Jesus Christ. Turn off the spotlight.
Well, back at the reunion, Swoozy from Kurt says, Candace, I'm glad you made up with Robin since she stood up for you against Giselle, but when you made up with Robin, you said you looked up to her the most in the group. What about Wendy? And Candace is like, I don't understand this thing that I have to have one girlfriend that I love more. I'm like, hello, have you never seen The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? Do you not know about like the competition for being ride or die for people? That's kind of like a Real Housewives thing.
Yeah. And Wendy's like, yes, but when you said she is the most loyal to you, and then within 5 minutes, she put the JBL on the speaker, I looked over and I said, this is the most loyal to you? And she goes, okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay. She backs down. She's like, I'm not going to go fight with Wendy over a damn Bluetooth speaker. You know,
right.
So Robin's like, ladies, it's not a competition here. We all equally hate Karen.
Yeah. Ladies, guess what? It's time for lunch. And the producer's like, hold on one second. Oh.
Hey, don't you have to say it? We'll be right back. I'm a podcaster right now. I know how to do it.
And he's like, yeah. We'll be right back.
Even though we've never seen a podcast or even heard what the word podcast was until we became a top podcast in America. Thank you.
So now the husbands are showing up at backstage and everything. Candace's glam squad is all wearing her t-shirt that says, not today, Satan, not today, neck, not today, ankles. She just forces them to wear her merch, which is hilarious. And then Wendy sees Eddie and she's like, well, we did a few segments and Mia brought you up three times.
Yeah. She said, because my husband isn't an opportunist taking pictures of me getting wheeled in the hospital. And I said, ooh, you want one? And so then Candace is saying hi to G because she's passing by G. And she's like, you look nice with your ascot. And he's like, sorry, I'm not going to be hugging anyone today. And she's like, yeah, we wouldn't want anyone to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And yeah, so they're just like some like chit chat backstage. And then they're back on set. And we're back.
Giselle. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to change my tampon. Robin just walks off.
Yeah.
Glad we got that in there.
Yeah. Got it in there. So Giselle, you're dealing with a health scare and you're soon to be in an empty nest. Have you purchased a large dog that slobbers everywhere and you can go running on the beaches of Miami with him? Please tell me. And if Joe Asuzu moves in next door, that's even better. But in true Giselle form, you just keep on pushing. You produced a Sweet 16 and did a live show while your Karen produced. Well, we're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. So we see the clips of, you know, Karen kind of dissing her home and then reasonably shady and Karen taking notes like, I'm taking notes on what not to do. And then stealing the idea from Giselle for a live show and then saying that her inspiration was her friendship with Wendy Williams and that she's the Muhammad Ali of live shows. And now that I'm just pointing all that out, because Giselle's entire montage of her season was Karen.
Yeah. That's funny. It's true.
So, the entire thing was like Karen's greatest hits. So right when we get into the conversation about how much Giselle does for this show. So then we finally get into the biopsy part. Andy asks her some small questions like, how are the girls? How's the home? Congrats on the pod. And Robin said, we've done 80 episodes and we've got 4 million downloads and we've never even listened to a podcast before, Andy. So we didn't invent it, but we kind of reinvented it. Okay.
Yeah. And everybody's like, well, that's not wise. It's, whoa, we're successful. Don't hate.
All right. Well, Pat from Ty says, Karen, the common denominator of ladies on the show who do the same thing at the same time is you. Did you steal the idea to do a live show from Robin and Giselle like you did with Wendy's Candles?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked this question, Andy. Now, all due respect to Wendy, I launched my fragrance 4 years ago. I had announced my candles would be next after that, and I was very gracious to you, Wendy, by not announcing my candles when you brought your candles over to my house, because that would have been a double announcement. I left my announcement as a season finale announcement, because I'm Karen and you are Wendy, who has to peddle your candles round to round. You might as well have just brought over some Thin Mints.
And as for my live show, actually, I believe that I announced my live show first when we did that first scene in the park. I think Giselle hadn't quite gotten there yet. I believe I said something, we all laughed, and it was well documented on the show. I think we had many flashbacks to it, isn't that right?
Giselle's like, what's the next question?
Yeah. He's like, well, Men from Toast Freshness Full of Life says, Karen, I think that your show would owe some thanks to the Countess's show, right? She's like, Countess, who? It's like, the Countess, you know, the show she does. She goes, no, well, you know, Ashley came to mind and we turned it into a variety show. With the TikTok thing.
It's nothing like the Parkers whatsoever. No, I'm not talking about Countess Vaughn. I'm talking about Countess Luann de Lesseps. Not familiar. I'm sorry.
So let's see here. She goes, oh, and you asked me my inspiration? Let me tell you, I've had time for that to give me an answer. Carol Burnett. Oh, my God. You.
That's why I'm always tugging on my nose.
This woman has balls of steel. And Andy's like, I thought you said it was Wendy Williams. What the heck? And she's like, oh, okay, Andy, you be shady. I get it. Ha ha, shady shade. But you can come to Philadelphia. I have a VIP ticket for you, Andy.
He's like, all right, well, who or what is a La Dame? She goes, oh, well, you know, I have a lot of love on social media, Andy. And so I named them all La Dames. That's why I say La Dames rise.
And Giselle's like, and when you say La Dames rise, does anyone stand up?
She's like, yes. On social media, yes. And if I say La Dame rise at my 300% sold out show, I'm sure they'll rise.
And he's like, okay, well, if there was a group of Robins, what would they be? She's like, boring. Well, boys. Hilaria from Boston Market, how you say cucumber, says, how is Giselle feeling?
And Giselle's basically talks about the hysterectomy and how she got a lot of feedback from women. And, like, you know, a lot of people were happy that she shared her story. And Candace is just, like, scoffing. And Candace is like, well, it's the first time you were real about something. She's, like, angry that Giselle shared her hysterectomy, which is kind of crazy. But Giselle then says that it was like a really traumatic surgery. And it was supposed to be a 3.5-hour surgery, but it wound up being 8.5 hours. And the kids were really scared. And it was really scared. And she was supposed to be dismissed from the hospital, not dismissed, but, like, you know, dispatched from the hospital, released. And she had to stay overnight. And so the kids were really, really freaking up. And so Giselle starts choking up and she goes, we'll talk about it later. And Andy's like, no, we'll talk about it right now. I was like, whoa, wow, okay.
It was a different Andy today. I think Andy has gotten past that part of just being exhausted by having children. I think someone was like, Andy, you're very rich and it's okay to just use the nanny for everything. The children should basically be able to vaguely recognize you at this point. Beyond that, you're overdoing it, you know, because he's getting sleep. And I think he did a really good job with this reunion. And we give him a lot of shit about these reunions, and I think he was pretty good on this one.
That's coming up to this next segment,
but yeah, I think he did a really good job. So he's like, no, we'll talk about it now. So she gets all upset and is talking about how her sister, who knew she had a sister, did you know that?
Yes, I think she was in a I think the sister Oh, no, I was thinking about the mom. I was thinking about her mom. Never mind. I don't know if I knew about the sister.
Bring me some sister. Thanks. Dear Bravo. So her sister Lizelle was supposed to be getting updates, but they weren't updating her for hours. And so everyone's like, what's going on? You know, did mom, what's going on? They weren't getting any. And also she was supposed to only be there for the day and be an outpatient, but she never came home and nobody ever called them.
Yeah. So
which is terrible. I mean, can we get some better fucking customer service? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's scary. And like, her bladder was compromised and stuff like that. So Andy's like, well, glad you're okay and glad you're happy about it. And people are always on you to share more of your personal life. And you're on a reality show. So it seems like there's a lot of you don't want to talk about yet. And, you know, you have an expectation of everyone else talking about everything else. You see how I transitioned from hysterectomy talk into making it an example of how hypocritical you are about how much you talk about your own personal life, huh? And Giselle's like,
meanwhile, they just keep cutting to Candace, mugging to the camera, like, gross. Hate her. You know?
Yeah. She's like, that's not true. I have talked about it on camera. If production doesn't want to show that, then production doesn't want to show that. But I'm definitely not going to sit with people I don't like and talk about my health issues.
And she points to Wendy, and Wendy goes, I don't like you too. So Andy goes, but do you not see a difference? And she's like, if I ask anyone here a question and they don't answer, they don't have to. Karen's like, oh really, you drag people if they don't? Candace is like, yeah, you bully people. And he goes, is this what cancer looks like? That's what she said to me, Andy.
Yeah. And so Andy's like, by the way, I may be the first person to actually ask this, but I'm curious, what's the deal with your friend Steve? I'm assuming you're not with him anymore now that you're with someone significantly more attractive and interesting from Winterhouse. Am I right?
And Candace is doing her big cartoon yawn thing. And Andy starts asking about Jason because Giselle said that she sees Steve when he comes to town, but she doesn't ask him to come to town. But Jason asked me when he can come to town. And Andy asks if he's met the girls. And yes, they all had lunch and they love Jason.
By the way, Jason is 36. He asked about the age difference. Jason's 36. I thought Jason was 22. I didn't realize he was 36. All this time, I thought he was like a young whippersnapper. So that's why I was especially surprised with Giselle and Jason.
Yeah, he's definitely older than I thought, too. I didn't think that. I thought maybe like 28, you know?
I literally thought he was like 22, 23.
Yeah, Southern Charm's an odd show because some of the people they cast are 22 and then they're like, and Kyle, you know? It's like, So then they start teasing her about the age difference, and she's like, I'm not a mathematician, nah. Rob's like, it's 16 years difference! 16 years difference!
Yeah. So, he has energy. So then Andy's like, he's like, well, next season, if you're still dating Jason, are we going to see him on the show? Just kidding. Of course we won't. He's barely on the shows he's already a cast member of. Okay.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, you want to talk about Wendy now? And so we get some Wendy clips, and it's literally kidney stones, drinking more water, and then the pita restaurant. So Andy's like, did you talk to people who had owned business about getting into the restaurant business? And she's like, I did, but Ashley said, yeah, I warned her about it, but she's also partnering with somebody who knows the business. I mean, he's got Peter's Brew, Bar One, Peter's Patio, Peter's Glove Box. And Andy's like, Mia, can you explain your relationship with Peter? And Candace says, yeah, you and G were sleeping with his girlfriend, right?
Yeah, and she's like, so it wasn't his girlfriend. We had a thing, like, we had a thing with his girlfriend, but she's not his girlfriend anymore, right? And he's like, okay, so she wasn't his girlfriend at the time. Now, okay, so Mia, I didn't understand why you threw a drink at Wendy. She didn't really say anything bad about your husband, and
And all the stuff with Peter's business had nothing to do with you. And honestly, I'm just surprised that you're coordinated enough to pick up a glass and throw it in a direction.
Well, Andy, it's the same reason I regurgitate other lines from famous housewives. I'm an empty vessel trying to keep a check. Thank you.
And so she's like, you know, I was talking, and Wendy is basically, she says something about like, well, she was saying these things. And Wendy's like, that's not true. I'm talking to Andy and I had had enough. Okay, I'd had enough.
Well, it seems like whatever the drama was between her and Peter, you were trying to make it something more than maybe what it is.
Well, I did not intend to argue with Wendy. I think I just like poorly delivered the message. Emphasis on poorly, as in I actively poured water on her.
I was trying to talk about business and she wanted to talk about threesomes, Andy.
But he's like, what are you talking about? And Candace goes, no, no, no. You took it to the other level because you threw the drink at her. And then she responded with all the stuff you didn't like. And Wendy's like, yeah, are you kidding? You're sitting here a year later pretending you don't know what you did wrong. You assaulted me. And don't let her fool you that I'm sitting here strong. That shit was fucked up. And Mia's like, okay. Well, you want to talk about the fact that you fucked Peter? And that's the real story.
Yeah.
That's the real story. You were mad. You want receipts of you getting Peter your cookie to get your own bar wine.
It's like, oh God, everyone just groans because Mia is just so bad at this.
I know.
She's Wendy just so bad at it.
Wendy goes, fuck you forever. So she's like, you know, you're just saying this because you want to say it. And so Andy just starts hiding behind one of his cue cards, which means he's like loving it and he has to hide a smile. And so Mia's like,
she had dinner with him before filming and they had a whole entree and I heard about it. In bar one, I saw the cameras.
I mean, she's so full of shit. It's hilarious. She gets to be welcomed into the security camera. Like, you think Peter's going to show her? I mean, Peter might actually. Peter's messy, but still.
Yeah, Peter's going to bang Wendy on a restaurant table and then keep the footage to show people. Come on now. And if so, that we would see this footage, right?
Yeah.
But they're just all laughing at her, you know? And Andy's like, so wait, did they have the cookie for dinner? And Candace goes, no, Andy, she gave him the cookie allegedly. The cookie is the vagina. He's like, I know, I know, I know what it means. I know.
And Wendy's like, you're fucking for lobsters.
I am, and I'm not denying it.
You're fucking denying. Lobsters. You're fucking for lobsters. She goes, yep. She goes, yeah, well, we don't all fuck for lobsters. And then it cuts to a clip of Mia cutting into lobster tail and like porn music playing.
Yeah.
So then Pack from Man says, Robin, you kept calling Wendy antagonistic. How is it possible to antagonize someone after they throw a drink in your face?
And she's like, no, okay, so first of all, let me say, I don't know how I would react if someone threw a drink on me. And Andy's like,
I have a feeling it wouldn't be good. I saw the umbrella scene. Let's roll it. Let's roll it.
So we get to see the infamous umbrella scene. And she's like, yeah, but that scene was she told me to get out of her face, and I did. And everyone in the world has the right to retaliate how they want to. However, I did not want to see her fight on television. And Karen goes, oh, really? Then why the fight? Oh, shut up. And she says, no, let me answer her. Let me answer her, everybody. Because you kept going and going. And I said, if you want to fight, then fight. And if you don't want to fight, then sit down. And that's the part that people are missing. So then we see an unseen footage clip where she's saying, listen, you do not want to fight, Wendy. You don't want to fight on camera. Because if she comes over and pops you in the mouth because you won't stop your blah, 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 and, you know, it's going to make you look bad. So if you want to fire her ass when the cameras go away. She's saying kick her ass after hours, basically.
Yeah. So Wendy is like, she's like, well, even with that context, that doesn't change anything for me because I had just been physically assaulted, not once, but twice. But you look at me and say you're being antagonistic. If somebody, anybody, hits dumbass Mia White now, I would say, hold up, that's messed up. You didn't do that. The only person you spoke to was the person who was attacked, and that's fucked up.
And she's like, well, I'm still not sticking up what she did, but for what she did, but I understand her frustration. And Candace is like, well, it sounded like you were. And she's like, and secondly, you and I were not friendly. And I felt like Karen would have been the perfect person to say, Wendy cut it out and Mia cut it out. But instead, she chose to excuse herself.
God, Robin, she has such mommy issues. It's like everything that happens, she blames the older one. Every single thing is Karen's fault, you know? Go apologize to your mother and make up for whatever the hell you're mad at her about. Because at this point, it's just like glaring.
Yeah, Karen's like, Robin, do not speak for me. Why are you dragging me into your bullshit? You brought up my name, so I'm in it now.
Because what you're not gonna do is say that I should have diffused something, that you are responsible for gaslighting. And by the way, I am going to be coming out with LaDame diffusers and LaDame gaslights. Thank you.
And he's like, I don't think that's what gaslighting is. Maybe you mean throwing gas on the fire? It's like, thank you, Andy. Thank you so much for in one evening being shady with me and correcting me. Thank you very much, Andy Cohen. I very much appreciate that. You'll be the first one to receive my gaslighter.
And so they just keep saying, you don't even know what gaslighting is. So Andy moves it along. He's like,
Chupa from Mi Verga Cabra says, Robin, you were on Watch What Happens Live saying that Cherise did not need to put hands on you to hold you back from getting Wendy, but the truth is, she did put her hands on you! So can you acknowledge if Cherise's natural reaction to put hands on you was because you were behaving in an aggressive manner? Now, we've debated this. And you said she didn't put hands on you, but then when we saw her put hands on you, I was like, oh my God, can we stop relitigating every, this was like the smallest thing. They make everything on this show into the biggest fucking deal.
Yeah. And so Robin's like, no, I said I didn't need her to put her hands on me. And Wendy's like, I was seated. So, you know, when you're seated and we're having a heated argument, you know, I don't know where you're all from. I don't know where you're coming from, you know, but if like you're going to come at it, if you're going to walk towards me, like anything could happen, you know. And but I said I was going to stand.
Yeah. And you did step towards her. Like if you walked right here in front of that coffee table, I'd be like, wow. And I would stand up and you'd probably push me back down into my seat. Let's be honest.
But the whole thing about this, Robin was completely wrong. Who does that? You don't fucking... Robin does that a lot. And they're correct that she's done that a lot over the years, where she just walks up on people and gets in their face and stuff. Like, you can't do that. But they're also leaving out the whole part where Wendy just kept going, stand up then, stand up then, stand up then, stand up then, stand up then. And she goes, really? You want me to stand up? And she stood up. They're like, oh my God, you stood up. You stood up. I can't believe you stood up.
Yeah, they only wanted her to stand up but not actually move forward at all. So
yeah.
So Andy's like, well, Ashley, you flip-flopped your stance on violence this season. Monique was far more violent with Mia. I mean, with what's-her-face. She was more violent than Mia was, but you defended her in the courts. And Ashley's like,
well, I mean, everyone came to Candace's defense, as they should have, but no one came to Wendy's defense.
And you wanted to be the hero.
Candace, just slinging out some. Candace is just mugging to the camera and slinging out little one-liners all night. It's so funny.
Yeah.
She's like, well, no one came to Wendy's defense when she was the person, and like no one was holding Mia's feet to the fire for her actions, and everyone chastised Monique and told her it was misrepresentation of black women, but no one
which
was
she
saying,
was yeah, which she was
yeah, but no one was Candace. Saying anything to Mia, and I don't think that's fair.
So,
and I will stand by that, just like I've stood behind Gollum for owning that ring.
And Andy's like, all right, well, let's move on. Your reaction to what happened in Miami seemed hypocritical and the opposite of what happened with Monique, Giselle.
And Giselle's like, here's the thing. What Monique did to Candace is completely different what Mia did to Wendy. Candace got beat up. Mia had a drink tossed. So the two are not comparable.
Well, you're saying that Chris made you feel a certain way, so listen to her. She felt a certain way. She got a martini thrown in her eyes. She felt violated.
But Giselle goes, right, I don't like her.
But, yeah, I don't like her.
So it doesn't matter to me. I'm allowed to be hypocritical if I don't like someone. Nah.
Yeah, bad answer. So Candace is like, yeah, well, there's your moral compass, because right is right and wrong is wrong. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And Andy's like, yeah, I don't think that would hold up in court just now. And Wendy's like, and just to be clear, I'm a strong person, but that was fucked up. And I'm just making fun of her being so overdramatic about it, because she is in the right. Like, Mia was totally fucking wrong and stupid, you know? But then I would never guess from watching this that Mia would have kept repeating over and over about the gay husband and the you're a slut kind of her whole act against Mia. But you can't really stand up for Mia, because she started all of this and put herself in the middle of something that had nothing to do with her, you know?
Right.
It just cracks me up that Wendy gets so dramatic, like, it took everything in me not to beat the shit out of you. Not because I couldn't, but because who I am is a woman. And the only reason I came to your womb was to have that conversation in Mexico, was to move on as a group. And then we see a clip of that, and she goes, but I won't fuck with you because you violated me to my deepest core. And just cuts to Giselle all confused, and she goes, weren't you guys kissing or vagina bumping after that?
Yeah. And when he's like, well, yeah, we'll get into that. We should all told each other our vaginas. I mean, it was tequila.
So funny. Just yeah, like, I mean, this intense drama broken with that one line. She's like, well, we all do it.
I mean, because she's the only one who really seems to have something to lose, because like, she knows the moment that she actually retaliates the way she probably wants to retaliate, she loses her job at Johns Hopkins.
Well, and here, right?
Oh yeah, I guess.
Like, you can't get into a physical fight, you know? I mean, where's Monique right now?
Where is Monique?
So then we go like over
just like Chris Samuels, just like falling asleep on top of Monique. She's like, someone help me, please. It's like, literally, where is Monique? You just see a hand from behind
her. Monique is like that butterfly in the stone from like the caveman era. So then Jacqueline is getting ready to come on, and she's just such a bad actor. So they're putting on her makeup, but Doug Llewellyn's back. It's very People's Court from the 80s, you know? She's like, tonight I would like to clear up the misconception. This woman has disgustingly talked about my children, putting out things on the internet about me, sleeping with married men, and other receipts I have about other thing. Thank you for having me, Doug. I'm looking forward to justice being served.
Yeah, I don't think there's any misconceptions, because that would have to imply that there was some energy put into making conceptions in the first place. And I think all of us are like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's like being
cares.
Stuck in a conversation at a cocktail party. You're like, uh-huh. You're like nodding your head. It's like being stuck in one of those conversations, and then someone comes up later on and goes, I have to clear up everything that was said in that conversation. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of inherently on Jacqueline's side, oddly enough, because Mia has proven herself to be such a liar and shady person that, like, I'm not following their drama so carefully, but I just sort of am like, yeah, Jacqueline, you're probably right. You're probably right. I'm good. Like, we don't even need to do it. I'm like, just say that Mia's treating you dirty. I'll be like, yeah, she probably is. I'm on your side. It's fine. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think that whole thing was boring, and I think it's a classic. Let's get on the show and then make storylines having like little fights about each other, because that's how you like get a job on the show and keep a job. But then it just went too fucking crazy.
Yeah, went out of control.
Yeah. And so now there's a topic that comes up frequently. No, not Nathan's hot dogs, but I really do love them, and so does all of New York City. Colorism. I was like, oh no, Andy's going to take on colorism. I got instantly nervous.
I know. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, it was a big thing that came up this year with everything with Mia and Wendy and how, like, Wendy was treated, etc. So they decided to, like, really, really approach this or you know, that's what they said. And he talked about how they were going to maybe get a moderator, and they reached out to everyone. Everyone said they didn't want a moderator. Because who knows who Andy would have chosen as a moderator?
Jack A. Harry!
I was going to say that.
Ellen Claghorn!
So, it just was like...
Little Doja Cat!
So,
you never know.
Yeah, seriously. So so then he basically is like, hey, I'm going to
sit back and I'm going to listen. But just know that when this conversation is done, I will moderate a conversation about boob jobs. Who has one? Who wants a new one? Okay.
So he says Candace was the most vocal, but that she told him and the producers that she didn't think the castmates were colorist, but that the conversation needed to be had. Now, that's a little different than what she said in the past, because this conversation has been going on this show really since season one, with all the Katie stuff, Katie being Jewish and Robin and Giselle getting all upset with her and a lot of that stuff that happened in season one. Then it came back a lot with Candace in general when Candace started to get shit on this show. Candace used to kind of throw this stuff out all the time, and it kind of opened the conversation. You know, it opened the conversation with us because we are white guys. So we didn't know what the hell was happening until people kind of explained it. So, I mean, I hate to be like Andy, but I'm kind of with him where it's like, it's not ours to discuss it, but it is our place to recap it. So Candy is saying she appreciates the conversation, but they all need to agree what the actual word means. So I have Merriam and Webster.
Yeah. Frequent,
so she reads
frequent
from
member on the Real Housewives. We should mention Merriam and Webster.
Literally,
hi,
no one.
Merriam Webster.
Literally, no one invites Merriam or Webster over because they're just constantly correcting cast. People of Real Housewives shows of all cities, you know.
So glad that, by the way, Andy did not recruit Jennifer Aiden to moderate this discussion.
What's colorism anyway, baby?
Caroline Manthos back in Jersey, like, I would just like everyone to know my father had nothing to do with putting Merriam or Webster at the bottom of the river. And how dare you for suggesting it?
So, so basically Candace reads the definition, which is, you know, different treatment based on skin color, especially favoritism towards those with lighter skin tones and mistreatment or exclusion of those with darker skin tone, especially typically among those of the same racial or ethnic group. And they all agree with that. And, Candace, you know, they want to talk about where colorism may have reared its head in the group. And she says that Candace says that she's someone who has a reputation of crying or screaming or yelling and will do a combination of all those things, and she's viewed as the crybaby because she'll be, you know, the first one to be emotional. But Robin has screamed and gone into Ashley's restaurant and put her finger in the face, so she's kind of like, it seems weird that Robin does not get labeled as, you know, like more of a villain, more of like the bitch, more of the aggressor.
And I like that they showed this
montage of Robin.
Yes, well, they also show a clip. They show a montage of Candace actually being everything that she's saying, you know, that's her reputation. I mean, they literally put in the clip with Candace being held back by her husband while she's like swinging to get forward and go at Ashley, swinging the butter knife and then being dragged away by Chris and throwing the butter knife, and then like cutting to Candace crying and screaming and yelling. I mean, Candace, you do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You do. And the argument from Ashley is like, yeah, but you do. You do that. And then Robin's reaction is like, yeah, but I do get called out for being mean and aggressive. She's like, I mean, just sitting here, I've been called mean girl and aggressive. So mm-hmm. I don't get it. And so basically it comes down to it came down to them saying, look, we understand that it's more difficult for you in life and that fans come after you harder. And we do understand that colorism is real and it is a thing. And Ashley was saying, like, I acknowledge that I benefit from colorism and that you don't. Like, I acknowledge that that's a thing. And then Candace starts crying and she's like, thank you. Like, that's sometimes really all we need is for us to have acknowledgement that it is a thing. Because when you say it's a thing, everyone's like, no, it's not. You're just a bitch, you know? And to acknowledge that it exists in the world, you know, is something, you know? And it kind of goes back to what we come to whenever we have these kinds of discussions on this show. If I've been completely ignorant about something in life or in a stupid recap, you know, it really doesn't cost any money to listen to other people. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't cost any money and just say, like, I hear you and, Like, let's try to fix it. I mean, what the fuck, you guys?
That's why it's kind of cringy sometimes to listen to like old episodes, because like we have actually learned so much in the past 11 years that we've been doing this, right? Like learning about not only perspectives, but, you know, really getting more nuanced views of especially racial things. And it's not from solely these TV shows, because there's been a lot of stuff that's been happening in society. But like, you know, that's probably why if I were to like go back and listen to some episodes, I guarantee I probably said some really cringy stuff, because it was like, it's like, oh, it's like, oh,
well, yeah, the whole world
that's
has
good.
Changed.
It's good that we're cringing. It's good that we go back and listen and cringe, because that shows that we actually have, you sort of evolved and understand perspectives a lot more. So it's really cool that Bravo is having these conversations on reunions, because I do feel like there was a time when we started, I think actually Bravo had a pretty simplistic sort of approach to all these things. So it's great that Bravo in some ways is at least trying to see some of the more difficult or challenging aspects to these very, you know, tricky and intersectional occasionally moments. And
so Karen, I think, had the best moment here, where she was like, listen, you know, we have to personalize this, you know, because you guys know I own the plantation that my ancestors were slaves on. And so colorism has been taught throughout the generations, and those with darker pigment skin were in the fields, and the lighter woman was the house Negro. And I can tell you that it takes a conscious effort to change that within us that was never supposed to be there in the first place. And what Candace is saying is that because of the color of her skin, she is judged more harshly than Robin or I would have been, period. You know? And I thought that was really well said, and I thought it was a great conversation among the cast. It was good to see. And then Andy's basically like, well, thanks, ladies. We've solved colorism. Okay, we'll be back to accuse Candace's husband of discomfort assault. See you soon.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like a good conversation to me. But again, obviously not part of the community, right? Like outsiders of the community. I'm sure there are people watching who felt like it did not go deep enough, or felt like it was surfacey, or maybe they felt like, I'm interested to hear if people felt like, this just felt like something that Bravo did to get themselves off the hook, or if it felt like a genuinely like, oh, this was really good and things were said that needed to be said, you know. So interested to hear what people's reactions are from within the community.
Yeah. So then we move into this Jacqueline segment, just so ridiculous. So Jacqueline's coming out, and Mia looks furious. The Jacqueline's there, right? And that he's like, welcome back. This dodo bird Jacqueline has joined us. Surely she hasn't brought a glitter box full of fake receipts. Welcome, Jacqueline. So I have to think, Mia, this isn't how you imagined working out, bringing your best friend on the show. And Jacqueline's like, well, I am completely shocked. Completely shocked, Andy.
Is this the first time you've seen Mia since filming Wrapped?
And Jacqueline's like, yes.
Oh, and Mia, this season, you introduced the ladies to your best friend, Jacqueline, and you fought like sisters, made up like sisters, went to the steam room like sisters, and one of you fell in love with George Clooney like sisters, and one of you married Ed Marinaro like sisters. Wait a second, I think I'm getting myself all tangled up. Anyway, let's take a look.
So then we see clips of them, yeah, and then fighting, and then fighting more, and then fighting more. How does it feel watching that? Personally, I formed two equal-sized eye boogers while that was airing in each eye, so thanks for that, little sleepies. And Mia's like, it was disappointing, Andy. I think that we both could have done better.
And Jacqueline's like, it was devastating. I see someone who literally wants to drag me underneath her, to elevate her, to be her peasant. And Mia's like,
I don't want anyone to be pleasant, okay? I want people to be happy, not just pleasant. Peasant. Are you calling me a peasant? Andy, do you see what I have to deal with?
Well, there's a lot of time. There was a time during the season where I was going through a lot personally. I thought I had a different kind of cancer or deadly disease literally every other day this season, Andy.
And he's like, but were you unsupported by your friend, Mia? She goes,
no, I was supported. But when she got here, I was just like overwhelmed by all the support that she needed, Andy.
And Jacqueline's like, let me clear this up. Let's talk about my sister. My sister was my nanny initially, and I knew that you didn't have the type of support from your family, that type of support. So that's when I said, here, take my sister to nanny for you. So when you're saying, like, you're giving me all this support, I literally gave you my sister. And Andy's like,
the fuck kind of argument is that, first of all? That's the weirdest argument I've ever heard. So you're basically saying, well, you weren't paying your sister to nanny. Your sister was just taking care of your children. But then you told your sister, let's get you a job and you can get paid for this with Mia by nannying for, right? Isn't that what you're getting?
It just
goes
to show sisters are doing it for themselves, you know? So Andy's like, well, when you were living with Jacqueline's family, did you feel like an underling? Did you feel less than her? And now you're turning the tables. And Mia's like, no, don't. Her mom and dad treat me like one of their own that sleeps with another one of their own. Okay. And I wish I were still as close with her parents. But like, and Jacqueline says that her mom hasn't watched yet because she doesn't want her mom to see it because she knows her mom will be so disappointed. But her family has seen it and they're disgusted with Mia.
Well, I definitely wish we didn't have to see it played out on television because we do argue and fight and we've probably said worse things to each other. But, like, look, I can wake up the next day and forget what happened and just move on.
And Jacqueline's like, that's the problem. You're unhinged. And she's like, well, I don't know that that's the word for it.
I mean, that's what the door was called when it was kicked down to repossess all of our stuff after Gordon's family stole all of our money. So
Jacqueline's like, well, let's talk about how you're unhinged. You sent a group chat to everybody talking about my house being in foreclosure. I need to worry about my food stamps when your family business is in shambles and I know all about it and I have all the details. And Mia's like, oh, really? You've got a folder? I've got a box. Pandora's box here, which I have licked.
And so I think they have, are the boxes matching? They've both got
it
like...
It seems like it's like a box off. Well, I think that like... Jacqueline has a folder, but Mia has a box. It's almost like someone's about to do an audit of a county fair raffle.
I'd say there were 9,072 jelly beans in the jar.
I brought my Valentine's Day box to see if you left me a Valentine's, and I think the record will show there's no Valentine from you in here.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's when we get the announcement that next week is a 90-minute finale.
Oh, dear. Wish us luck. I mean, it'll be great. It'll be great to watch. It's just going to be a lot of typing.
It'll be a fun blowout for the end of a good season.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here. If you want to watch the Crappy Awards, go over to our website, watchwhatcrappens.com. There's still links up for the next week. I think it'll end Friday. So, you know, during this week, do it. And that will be posted on the audio feed next week. Also, go get tickets for all of Watch What Crappens live shows in March, starting with Charlotte in like 10 days, 9 days.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you tomorrow. We'll see you later, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
The Bay Area Betches
betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Make it lastner with Aaron Kastner.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.